Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, I talked to a pastor concerning doing our Christmas program, and he said Sunday morning would work out great and that we could come and at least get a quick introduction and quick update on our ministry as well, and to share a little bit of what God's doing in our lives and how he's working in our hearts and our health as well, going very, very well. Privileged to be here this morning. As an evangelist, we travel, and a lot of the evangelists with come, they travel down to Florida, and they normally don't have a ministry at all because most churches have their Christmas program and everything going on with Christmas that normally an evangelist isn't involved in all that. So I thought, you know, Christmas is very special to me. I enjoy Christmas. Christmas happens to be my favorite holiday. It might also be because Christmas Day, December 25th, happens to be my birthday. So that might be a reason why I love it so much. But in any case, well, not too many people can say the whole world takes your birthday off. But in any case, Christmas has always been special to me. I grew up in South Dakota, the Black Hills, and growing up in the Black Hills, I was going to a Christian school that did not believe in celebrating Christmas. They said it's too commercialized, and Christmas is too worldly of a holiday for Christians to celebrate it. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful opportunity to share with the world why we celebrate Christmas, why Christmas is important to us. And you know, as you go along the community, many times you see manger scenes and you have shepherds and Joseph and Mary and you have the baby Jesus in the manger and to be able to explain to them what that's all about. Why Jesus did come. Why we believe that he is the Son of God. Tabernacled amongst us, God with us, Emmanuel. What a wonderful opportunity. So as an evangelist, I thought, you know, what a wonderful opportunity to help smaller churches and help them have a Christmas program where they can invite the community. Some smaller churches, they don't have either enough children or anybody that's willing to put together a Christmas program. You guys do. We're going to have one here tonight. But many smaller churches, they just don't have anything. So I wanted to be able to step in and to do something special that the church can invite people to come in, children come in, and to see God work. And we've had some wonderful responses, and it's been exciting what God has done. Of course, Raleigh, my first ventriloquist partner that I got 36 years ago, was on Christmas morning. So I've always said Raleigh's birthday is December 25th, too. and what a wonderful opportunity. So this morning, Raleigh and Randy are going to help me tell the Christmas story. Raleigh is going to sing a song as well as Randy. Jane's going to sing two songs. The congregation is going to sing one, and that's hymn number 127. So if you'd be willing to open up your hymn book to hymn number 127, our excellent song leader is going to come in a few seconds here and lead us on stanza one. Not yet, brother. Not yet. Raleigh and Randy are going to come out first. And so we're going to sing that song. And then also the song Away in a Manger. We'll probably sing that as well. Jane's going to sing that, and you could follow along with her, Away in a Manger. And then Jane's going to sing two other songs, and we're just going to go through the Christmas song, the Christmas story, to remind us the reason of the season, the greatest gift of all. So sit back and enjoy this story in a very unique way, the greatest gift, the treasure to cherish. You listen.
Randy, oh boy, oh don't do that, that tickles, cut that off, don't do that. Oh, Randy, your hair's a mess. I like it that way. Don't do that. Oh, what to look at. Take it easy. Hey, wait a second. Hold it. Hey, did you know there's people out there? Oh, boy. Raleigh coming, too? Hey, this is exciting. Hey, here we are. Hey, Raleigh, yeah, we're here to celebrate something very wonderful. Oh, you shouldn't have. I shouldn't have what? Happy birthday to me. Oh, Raleigh. Happy birthday to me. Oh, Raleigh. Happy birthday, dear Raleigh. Happy birthday to me. He's stuck on himself. What'd you say, Raleigh? Yeah. We're not here to celebrate your birthday. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Yeah, we're here to celebrate somebody else's birthday. George Washington. No, we're not here to celebrate George Washington's birthday. Abraham Lincoln. No, we're here to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, Christmas. Yeah, we're here to celebrate a very wonderful occasion, something wonderful that took place. You're going to tell us about it? I certainly am, old boy. Christmas, that's when we get all the presents. I want a red bike. You want a red bike? I sure do. And, Raleigh, what do you want? Something very simple. And what's that? All I want is a card. Oh, birthday card or Christmas card? No, a credit card. What are you going to buy with a credit card? Oh, a computer, a Trans Am? Hold it, wait a second. You can't get all that. Sure, I can. Who's going to pay for it? MasterCard. Yeah. You know you have to pay that back, don't you? I do? Yeah. Oh, I guess not a good idea after all. But in any case, the Bible shares with us this wonderful story about the birth of our Savior. You're going to tell us about it? I certainly am. The Bible shares with us that Mary was in Nazareth. An angel came and spoke to her and shared with her that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us. Wow, that sounds exciting. It certainly does. The Bible shares with us that it's going to be very special. That Mary, a virgin, would give birth to the Son of God. That's impossible. Not with God. We find that God did send his Son, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, thou didst leave thy throne. Let's sing hymn number 127, brother, you come. And let's sing stanza one of hymn number 127, thou didst leave thy throne.
Thy throne and thy when thou camest to earth for me, but in Bethlehem somewhere there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee.
So Jesus was born in Nazareth? Oh, no, that's not right. Yeah, you're right. The Messiah was not to be born in Nazareth. He was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Do you know how far that is? Oh, they could take a plane. No, they can't take a plane. A bus? No, they can't take a bus either. Taxi? No, they can't take a taxi either. Then what did they take? A donkey. Do you know how far that is? Mary will have the baby Jesus even before they get there. Yeah, it was a long ways on a donkey. Yep, on a donkey. The Bible shares with us that, yes, that Caesar wanted to tax the whole world. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Yeah, and because of it, Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem of Judea to register and to pay their taxes. That's a long ways to go. It certainly was. And you know, that's exactly what God wanted. The greatest treasure of all. A miracle that was about to take place. The greatest of treasures.
Oh, I gotta know. I gotta know. Did they make it? Did they make it all the way to Nazareth?
They certainly did, Randy. They certainly did. They made it. No, Bethlehem was a very beautiful city. I'm sure all lit up and lots of activity going on since there were so many there to pay their taxes.
Oh, I bet that hurt.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. Well, when they arrived in Bethlehem, they needed to find a place to stay.
A motel, right?
No motels. Hotel? No, not a hotel.
Oh, they stayed with the CEO of Bethlehem.
Nope, they didn't even stay with the CEO of Bethlehem. No. In fact, the Word of God shares with us that there was no room in the inn.
No room? Kind of remind me of today.
How does it remind you of today?
Well, because there are a lot of people in the world today that have no room for Jesus.
Well, that's true. In fact, there was no room at all. The only place that they could stay was a stable.
A barn?
Yep, a barn.
With goats and camels? Oh, I bet it stank in there.
Yeah, but in any case, that's all that they had. In fact, that night, the Son of God was born. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
Where did they put him?
In a manger.
Where the goat eat?
Yep, where the goat eat.
And the camels and the frogs?
Frogs.
And the drinking water.
Yeah, in any case, the Bible shares with us there was no room. All they could do was wrap them in swaddling clothes.
What's that?
Well, swaddling clothes, kind of rags, sometimes what they bury people in.
Jesus died?
Oh, no, not that night. But they were so poor, they didn't have the riches of that day, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger.
Oh, where the goats eat?
Yep, where the goats eat. Away in a manger.
In a manger. Yes, the Lord Jesus. Oh, did a lot of people come see him?
Well, the Bible shares with us that angels appeared to shepherds.
Devlin?
Yep, Bedouin. They appeared to them and told them about the birth of the Savior. And they came to see Jesus that night, that's all?
Well, no, but a little bit later, we don't know how long, some scholars believe maybe up to 3 years later,
there were some men who came to see Jesus. The Bible shares with us that they brought three gifts.
Oh, I know who they are.
Who are the guys who brought three gifts?
Oh, they're the wise guys.
Yeah, the wise men who came from afar to see Jesus, the Son of God. They came to worship him that day, realizing that this truly was the Son of God. Now, guys, why don't you go ahead and sing your song for us?
Oh, boy, this sounds fun. Listen to this. His name is Master, Savior, Lion of Judah, Blessed Trinity, Shepherd, Fortress, Rock of Salvation, Lamb of God is He. Son of David, King of the ages, eternal life, Holy Lord of glory, His name is life. Oh, I sure you'll treasure the greatest gift of all. Thanks for coming, and I hope that you'll put Jesus in the center of your Christmas. This is exciting. Well, that's neat. Hey, we'll see you guys later, okay? Thanks for coming. I think Mrs. Silcott's coming. Try certainly, Randy. I sure will. Her hands are usually cold. Oh. There they go. They are. Oh, boy. We'll see you guys later. Oh. Take it easy. You know I'm fragile. Whoops. So long. Hey, we'll see you guys later, okay? Thanks for coming. That was exciting.
What gift can I bring to you that is worth more than frankincense and myrrh? I have come to worship you for the... I'm losing it.
You forgot it?
I forgot it. Okay. What gift can I bring to you that is worth more than frankincense and myrrh? I have come to worship you. The King of all the ages is you.
Thank you, Janie. I'd like to encourage you to open your Bible to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Here in John chapter 3 is a verse that I memorized as a young person so long ago. Being in a pastor's home, remember sitting that night and looking forward to Sunday morning, and a verse that I needed to memorize was found here in this chapter, John chapter 3 and verse 16. A verse memorized as a young person, a verse that I've always remembered, a verse that's so powerful. And the verse says this, in John chapter 3, verse 16, says, "For God." And we looked at the verse here today and the fact that God is a loving God, and it shares with us that, "For God so loved the world." He loved you and me so much that he gave his only begotten son a gift that Christmas morning, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave a gift. You know, on Christmas morning, when you get up in the morning and you run out there to that room where all those gifts are, I've seen families that they put wrapping paper over the doorway of the living room or wherever the tree is so that the children have to break through that wrapping paper just to get to the room where all the gifts are. A Christmas morning tradition that we see in many homes, and they rip through that paper, they run into that room with all the tree is all lit up and all the gifts under that tree with your name on it. Isn't that an exciting morning? I love Christmas morning, an opportunity to remember the greatest gift of all. You know, when we give that present, that gift to our loved one, we're telling them about God's love. That first gift that was ever given. That gift of love, reminding us of God's gift. You know, when I think of a Christmas present, of course, when you pick up that Christmas present, it's often in a box, right? And inside that box is that gift. Wrapped around that box is some paper. And wrapped around that paper is usually a ribbon. And sitting right on the top is a bow. And then quite often, there's a name tag, right? And it's got your name on it. Boy, what a wonderful day remembering the love of God. That loved one that loves you so much to give you that gift that reminds you of the greatest gift of all. God's gift, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I think about that gift, I think about God's gift. Inside that box, wrapped in that paper, with a ribbon wrapped around it and a bow on top and a name tag on it, I think of that gift that God's given to us. And I use each letter of the first letter of each word, box, paper, ribbon, bow, tag. And the first thing I think of is, of course, the gift that is inside the box. But when I think about the box, that first letter is a B. I think about the blood that was shed for my sin. That blood that was shed is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, that says this, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." God paid for his gift himself. He sacrificed his only begotten son that we might receive the love of God. Bethlehem, the perfect sacrifice. Do you realize that Bethlehem is where the shepherds take care of the sheep that are used to sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem? What a perfect place for the Lamb of God, who is to be slain for the sins of the world, would die one day. Perfect place for him to be born, the Lamb of God. You know, I think about that lamb, Abraham, when he was told to sacrifice his lamb. He was to go out into the field and he was to pick a perfect lamb. He could not go to the field and say, "Well, that lamb over there is sick. It's about ready to fall over. It's going to die pretty soon. So I think I'll sacrifice that one." He couldn't do that. He went out to the field and he found a lamb that was perfect and without blemish. It wasn't sick. It didn't have any blemishes on it. It wasn't about to die. But it was to be sacrificed as a picture of that perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ was that gift. And that box that that gift is in reminds me of the blood that was shed for my sin. That perfect lamb who knew no sin to take care of my sin problem, because Adam and Eve chose to partake of a fruit that God told them not to, and all men had become sinners. What a perfect gift. A gift, a perfect gift without sin, that was going to shed his blood for the sins of the world, that we might have eternal life. What a gift. God's gift of eternal life. Hope in him. But not only does the box remind me of the blood that was shed for my sin, but what about the paper that this gift is wrapped in? The paper, and I use that letter P again, and I look at the word propitiation. It was in our verses this morning. And the Bible shares with us that God sent his only begotten son. He shed his blood for my sin, which was perfect and sinless. Hence the word propitiation. All of God's righteous demands are satisfied through Christ. In fact, in Romans 3, verse 25, it says, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." In 1 John 2, 2, it says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." What a gift! He sent his son, who shed his perfect blood, one without sin, that I might be led and seen perfect through Christ. Christ is a propitiation for our sins. He is the perfect sacrifice who knew no sin to satisfy all of God's righteous demands. What a gift! Doesn't that just make goosebumps on your arms and the hair on the back of your neck standing up? Don't you just want to stand up and shout, "Praise the Lord!" What hope we have! Oh, when I see that gift, it reminds me of God's perfect gift, his son. The box reminds me of his blood that was shed for my sin. The paper reminds me of propitiation. all of God's righteous demands are satisfied through Christ. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love." Isn't that love? Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God packed his perfect gift in thousands of years of fulfilled prophecy, widely observed miracles, and breathtaking resources. Oh, the hope that we have in a Savior who came that Christmas morning to provide salvation and eternal life. But not only do I see the gift that God's given to me, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his son. The box reminds me of his shed blood. The paper reminds me of propitiation. All of God's righteous demands are satisfied. But not only do I look at the paper, but I also like to consider the ribbon. You know that ribbon that's wrapped around the paper, holding it all together? That beautiful ribbon, that letter R ribbon, reminds me of redemption. What a powerful word. The picture is this, that when we're born in this world today, we're born in sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're all born in sin, all guilty of sin, because Adam partook of the fruit that God told him not to. And because we're born in sin, all we can do is sin against God. We're in the slave market of sin, lost, condemned, and bound for hell. As slaves to our sin, we can't do anything but sin against God. But God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son on that Christmas morning to shed his perfect blood for lost, condemned man, to be that sacrifice that satisfies all of God's righteous demands, that we might be purchased from the slave market of sin. That word redemption means to be purchased, to be bought back. He is our kinsman redeemer. He has purchased us back. The hope that we have is in Christ. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He is our redeemer. He has purchased us from our sin. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And if that's not enough, how about Hebrews 9:12? Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Wow! The hope that we have, that gift that God has given to us, reminding us each Christmas as we hand our loved ones that gift, we say, I give you this gift because I love you, in remembrance of the greatest gift of all, the gift of God, God's gift, that should remind us of what Christ has done for us. But not only do I think that Christmas morning as I pick up that Christmas gift, I think of the gift that God's given to me, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the blood that was shed for me in reference to the box that gift was put in. I think about propitiation, that all of God's righteous demands are satisfied. When I think about that paper that gift is wrapped in, the ribbon reminds me of redemption and the fact that I have been redeemed, purchased from the slave market of sin. I love that song, redeemed. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. I've been purchased. Have you been purchased? Do you know him as your Savior today? Has there ever been a day in your life when you accepted that gift and trusted in him as your personal Savior? He is your shepherd. He's my shepherd if you know him as your Savior today. But not only do I think about the box, the paper, the ribbon that it was wrapped in, but I also like to think about the bow. I've had opportunities over the years to study how people in stores, you know, there are some stores you could rush in and purchase a gift, come out, and as you're going out the door, there's that table set up with professionals that know how to wrap boxes. You know, I am the last person in the world that you want to wrap a gift. I mean, it doesn't look so good when I'm done. It's just not my talent. It's just not, and you know, so every chance I get someone else to wrap that gift, I'll take it. I mean, I just do. But professionals, wow, when they're done, they even take this ribbon, this, and you think, well, that's all it is a ribbon, and they tie it all into a nice little knot, and then they take a pair of scissors and cut the ends off and take the scissors and pull on it, and it wraps up really pretty and looks like a beautiful bow. How do they do that? Wow, it looks just gorgeous. But you know, when I think about that bow, I think about the fact that Christ is coming back. He's coming back, isn't he? The Bible shares with us that day when Jesus Christ ascended into the heaven, the angels looked at those standing by. Why seek ye the Lord Jesus Christ? He is coming back. The Bible shares with us in John chapter 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that exciting? That not only that gift, that beautiful gift that reminds me of our Savior, for God so loved the world. He loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son. And the box reminds me of his shed blood. The paper reminds me of propitiation and the fact that all of God's righteous demands are satisfied. And then the ribbon reminds me of redemption. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, set free from the slave market of sin. But that bow, it reminds me that he's coming back. Now I know there are many scholars, if you can call them scholars, don't believe that Christ is going to return. They just don't believe it. But I believe God's word to be true, that he will return. The question is, are we ready? The last thing, as I look at that gift under the Christmas tree, the last thing that that gift reminds me of is the fact that there's a name tag on that gift. Look in John chapter 3, verse 16. It says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then it says that whosoever. There's my name. There's your name. I had somebody tell me that you could read John 3:16 like this: for God so loved Timothy Silcott that he gave his only begotten son, that if Timothy Silcott believeth in him, Timothy Silcott will not perish, but Timothy Silcott will have everlasting life. Do you realize you could put your name there too? The question is have you? Your name's written down. It's on that gift. And in that gift is the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh, who shed his blood for your sin, who satisfied all of God's righteous demands in propitiation. You have been set free, redeemed, if you've received this gift. And without a shadow of a doubt, we know that he is coming back. Are you ready for that day? You know, I'm sure you will never see a young person waking up in the morning, coming to that door that's all wrapped with gift paper and break it free, run into that room and look under that Christmas tree and find their name written on the tag, pick that gift up and say, oh, I know who gave me this. You know, I know they love me. I know they adore me. But you know, I think I'll wait till August to open this one and set it to the side. Have you ever seen a young person do that? Have you ever done that? Usually not. But do you realize there are many people in the world today that do that with God's gift? It's got your name on it. That whosoever, but they set it to the side. Oh, maybe someday. No, the Word of God says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. In fact, verse 15 says this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I close with verse 36 of John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Don't choose to set that gift aside. It's got your name on it. Whosoever will, may come. Will you trust him today? Don't turn him away. Don't lay that gift to the side. Accept it today. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I plead with you, I beg you, don't leave this auditorium without accepting that gift. The Word of God says, today. Today is the day of salvation. That gift has your name on it. Will you take it? Will you accept it? Will you trust in him by faith and faith alone? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning and the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this has been a unique Christmas program. I trust that it touched hearts. I pray that today that we'll remember that greatest treasure of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will remember that perfect gift who knew no sin, that satisfied all of God's righteous demands, which set me free from the bonds of my sin. Father, I know many people here today have accepted that gift. I know many people today are born again. But Father, you know the hearts. You know the hearts of each one here. And Father, I pray if there's one here today that's not saved, one here today who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, have never accepted this free gift with their name on it, I pray that today, they'll trust in your Son as their only means of eternal life. That they too might be born again, set free, bound for heaven. Use this message in hearts in ways that I can't. I cannot save a soul, but you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.